Welcome to Community Players on 91.5 Jazz and More, a show dedicated to being a voice for our local Las Vegas community. Here's your host, Zachary Green.
This week on Community Players, we are spreading the love. The Anti-Defamation League is here, and they are a group that is dedicated to eradicating hate in our community. They're going to be talking about some of the fantastic programs they have running in the local CCSD schools, and they're also talking about a big event they have coming up in March called the Walk Against Hate, taking a step in the right direction. It's all happening right here, right now, only on Community Players. Sitting in with me again for a second time. I'm so excited. It's Katrina Sandigo, and she is with the Anti-Defamation League. Katrina, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Zach. Thank you so much for having me again. I'm excited to be a part of this program once more.
So this time, Katrina's over the phone because we have been crazy in this new year, and I know for you guys over at the Anti-Defamation League, you guys have some amazing programs you guys are offering and a fantastic event that's coming up in March. But for some of our listeners who don't know what ADL is, can you just give us a little insight?
Of course. So the ADL is over 100 years old. We were founded in 1913, and we are the world's leading anti-hate organization, and we focus on fighting anti-Semitism and hate in all of its forms, bigotry, bias. So it's not just about one form of hate, but about all forms of hate. And our goals today continue to be the same in order to ensure that everyone is treated fairly and justly.
That is such a long time and such an amazing way to have such a big impact in our community.
Yes, absolutely. So the ADL has been here locally for over 20 years now, and we've been able to make a huge impact with all sorts of different programs and opportunities we offer to community members, both in Southern and Northern Nevada.
Something that I love, too, that you guys mentioned last time when we were talking is the fact that you guys aren't just an anti-Semitic group. You guys go out and you're fighting hate in all of its forms, whether that be racism, whether it be against gender, or it be against maybe sexuality. You guys are standing up and really helping to make that impact.
Yes, absolutely. We really believe that if you only fight one kind of hate, or you cannot only fight one kind of hate without effectively fighting all of them. So if we really want to see a change in what's going on, then we're not able to just focus on one group. And also, it's not the right thing to do to just focus on one group for our organization. So.
Fantastic. Well, today we want to really highlight this fantastic service that you guys are offering, and it is called FACES, which is Family and Community Engagement Services. Can you break that down a little bit for me?
Absolutely. So FACES is a department within the Clark County School District, and they provide a whole catalog of classes that teachers and students and parents can all take part in. The school requests the course. And the course that the ADL offers is an anti-bullying prevention awareness program around parents, specifically focused around parents to look for the, you know, signs and symptoms of bullying. But the great part about this is that we go directly to the schools and into the neighborhoods where these families are located. So we, again, try to remove one of those barriers of getting to a class that's maybe across town, or, you know, trying to work with the time. So these classes are offered at all times, some as early as 7 a.m. and some as late as 7 p.m., depending on when the school schedules it. And they tend to schedule it at a time that's most available to families within their community.
Awesome. And when we talk about bullying, are we talking about kids throughout K through 12, or are you guys specifically going in and working with younger children?
We do work with all grade levels. We've done our FACES program with K-12 schools all over the valley, and we actually find that high school tends to be the most packed parent day. And, you know, there's, of course, lots of elementary parents, but middle school and high school parents in particular want to know about this topic and how they can help their kid with the issues that they're facing. you know, as we get older, there's bullying and, you know, turns into cyberbullying. Sometimes issues become much bigger and much harder to solve. And as parents see that happening, they want more resources. So we definitely help parents of K through 12.
So how exactly are you helping the parents? What type of advice are you giving them?
So we go over some general things in the beginning. We define what bullying is and what it isn't. We help parents kind of see the difference between name-calling and teasing versus full, true bullying, which has an actual definition to it. And it has to be repetitive as far as the ADL is concerned. So we take that definition and we use our words, target, which is the child being bullied, aggressor, the child doing the bullying, and using some of those words and having those conversations with this new terminology to help them be more aware of what's going on. We talk about the trends that they might see in their child if they are being bullied or if they're the child doing the bullying. And we also do some scenario work at the end. So we read a few scenarios and I have parents collaborate with each other. I was just recently at a middle school where there were several students who came with their parents to an evening session, and the kids got to weigh in as well on what they thought that they should do in the bullying situations and share their thoughts and feedback. And the administration is there as well, and they're able to share their perspective from the school. So it's really about giving the parents the right terminology to use, but also helping them to understand what really to look for. Not every push on the playground or, you know, teasing, name-calling situation is bullying, and we're trying to give parents the tools to really see what is and what isn't and how to handle both sides.
I would love to know what some of these trends or signs and symptoms of being bullied are for a kid who is maybe doing the bullying or for a student who is being bullied.
Yeah, so there's quite a few. Some of them are probably pretty traditional things that you'd think of. If your child's being bullied, they might come home with bumps and bruises that are unexplained. They might come home without, you know, the lunch money that you sent with them and also not having eaten lunch. You know, some of those really classic stereotypical signs of that. Maybe they fake sick to not go to school. Especially as our kids get older, they don't have a supervised, their lunch is supervised differently. When you're in middle school and high school, you have a larger cafeteria where you can sit wherever you'd like. Whereas in elementary school, most of our kids, they have a lunch table, they sit next to classmates. They're not looking for someone to sit next to. So thinking as our kids get older, if they, you know, don't have friends at the school or if they're being picked on by someone, they might choose to not eat lunch and go sit somewhere else where they don't have to be around other kids. Headaches, stomach aches, those sorts of things. We've even seen some situations where kids have nightmares, especially our younger ones. A sudden loss of friends, that happens when you see kids trying to really push somebody else out of the group. And even feelings of helplessness. And of course, the worst thing is self-destructive behaviors, which have a wide range of things like not following the rules and knowing that there's consequences, of course, to self-harm. Unfortunately, you know, that is a major sign of being bullied. And some of the signs for bullying other children are similar. You know, they're getting into fights, they're doing those things. They might have new possessions that you did not purchase for them, that they really don't have a good reason as to why they have them, getting detention frequently, being increasingly aggressive towards other people or to younger siblings or cousins, blaming others for their responsibility or blaming others for their problems and not accepting responsibility for their actions is a really important part of this as well. Children who tend to be the aggressor or do the bullying type behavior don't ever see it as their fault. Someone else made them do this. It was a behavior of the other child that caused them to bully this other child or this other person, because we unfortunately know that bullying happens to adults too. So
we are slowly running out of time, but one more question I'd like to know is, are bullies typically maybe a friend of a child who was a friend and they got in a fight and then it transpired into something else? Or is it usually someone out of their circle?
You know, that's actually a really great question. We see it kind of falls on both sides. So for the most part, there is some sort of connection. Maybe the child is in the classroom with them as a classmate. And we do see situations, especially as our kids get older, we see situations where they were friends or have been friends in the past and something transpired between them, like you had said, and it's caused a rift between that friendship. But unfortunately, we do see that, and we see that now, especially with cyberbullying, where you have a child being picked on at school and then they'll go home and cyberbully, or you just have a child that is picked on online and it turns out to be someone who's claiming to be their friend, unfortunately. And we do see it on both sides. So you don't have to know the person to be bullied, but it certainly does not change your chances.
I cannot thank you enough for sharing more information about FACES. I do have more questions on the topic of bullying, but we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are also going to be talking about the Anti-Defamation League's yearly event, their Walk Against Hate. It's all happening right here, right now, only on Community Players.
Want to stay up to date on all things Community Players? Go to our website, 915jazzandmore.org/communityplayers. You can also follow our host, Zachary Green, on social at ZTG Broadcast.
Here's your community update right here on Community Players.
Well, it's the first of its kind to ever hit Las Vegas as the National Fitness Campaign unveils its 100th fitness cord. Now, this is a free resource for the community to come work out, get in shape, and stay fit. I spoke with the National Fitness Campaign founder, Mitch Menajid, who shares the impact this brand new fitness cord is going to have in our community.
I'm Mitch Menajid, and I'm the founder of the National Fitness Campaign. We're based out of San Francisco. The National Fitness Campaign is a consulting firm, and what we do is we design healthy infrastructure for cities to improve the quality of life for people. We do that by connecting greenways and parks and fitness courts to bring folks outside and get them more active so that they can live healthier lives. Well, Las Vegas is a very exciting topic for us. It's the centennial city in our National Fitness Campaign, the 100th partner joining us all across the nation. And we are coming to Las Vegas on Monday to launch the centennial fitness court, our 100th fitness court in a park. Where we're going to showcase the value and the power of our outdoor fitness court. We're going to show folks how it works, how easy it is to use, tell them all about our fitness court app, and we're going to have some exciting people out there to make it fun and exciting. A fitness court is the world's best outdoor gym. It is a place where people can come and get a full body workout. It includes a rotation of 7-minute elements that allow you to progress through different body parts and body movements so that at the end of 7 minutes on a fitness court, you have all you need to stay fit and healthy, and you can do it every day in just 7 minutes. You know, every city is concerned about staying healthy because in America now we have nearly 40% obesity rates, which is really kind of crazy. And cities across the country are trying to find ways of getting folks out of cars, getting them into parks and on greenways, and getting them on outdoor fitness courts so that they can start to engage in a regular practice of healthy living. These fitness courts move against the trend of sitting. We've been sitting for too long. We've been living in cities built for cars, and now it's time, and people are realizing and getting involved with our campaign, which connects greenways and parks and fitness courts to get folks outside, to give them great things to come to in parks and along trails so that they can learn how to exercise, so that they can make new friends, they can take classes, they can do fun 7-minute workouts supported by a fitness court app, which is all free, in these fitness courts that are showing up all across the country, supported by cities and sponsors all across the country. And it's something that I think Las Vegas folks are going to be really excited about. This is the very first fitness court that's coming to the city, and we have plans for dozens of them that are going to be built all across the county in Henderson, throughout the city of Las Vegas, all throughout Southern Nevada. Go to our communications agency, KDC, in Las Vegas. They can come to our website, the National Fitness Campaign, and I think we'll be happy to share all we know about health and fitness in cities and about our National Fitness Campaign.
Stay tuned. Community Players will be right back on 91.5 Jazz and More.